there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. Private investigator Doug Hagman will join me in a few minutes to tell us about the latest intel he received from his source inside the Department of Homeland Security. First, however, I want to start today's program with a little end-time weather report. I'm not referring to the blizzard that hit New England. I'm talking about the warnings from space scientists that the Earth is overdue for a solar mega storm that could knock out satellites, communications, and electricity over a wide swath of the planet. The sun has 11-year cycles, 11 years of minimum activity followed by 11 years of maximum activity. In 2010 and 2011, I interviewed scientists who warned that 2013 will be the peak of the latest solar maximum and that we could see some spectacular fireworks. Days ago, NASA announced that the sun erupted with two powerful coronal mass ejections called CMEs on the evening of February 5. The storm of particles left the sun at a speed of 750 miles per second. It usually takes 3 days for the solar storm to travel the distance from the sun to the Earth. Now, in recent days, a number of newspapers around the world have published articles warning about the possibility of a solar superstorm this year. They point out that superstorms usually happen every 100 to 200 years. And the last time planet Earth was hit by a big solar superstorm was 1859. And a solar superstorm is not the only thing to be watching for in the skies. An asteroid half the size of a U.S. football field will pass between Earth and orbiting satellites on February 15. NASA says there is little likelihood that asteroid 2012 DA14 will strike the planet, even though it is estimated that its approach will bring the space rock to a mere 17,000 miles above the Earth. There has been another mysterious death of a person publicly declaring that the USA is being taken over by a secret entity. Philip Marshall was the author of a new book about the September 11 attacks on the Pentagon and World Trade Center. The book is titled The Big Bamboozle. His previous books included Top Secret America. He wrote in a statement last year, quote, "Think about this. The official version about some ghost, Osama bin Laden, in some cave on the other side of the world defeating our entire military establishment on U.S. soil is absolutely preposterous." He went on to say the true reason the attack was successful is because of an inside military stand down and a coordinated training operation that prepared the hijackers to fly heavy commercial airliners. We have dozens of FBI documents to prove that this flight training was conducted in California, Florida, and Arizona in the 18 months leading up to the attack, end of quote. Mr. Marshall was a veteran airline captain and former U.S. government special activities contract pilot. In the 1980s, he was a Learjet captain who flew missions for the DEA, including a sting on drug dealer Pablo Escobar. He also flew secret missions to arm the Nicaraguan Contras. He was qualified to fly Boeing 727s, 737s, 747s, 757s, and 767s. He became convinced that there is a conspiracy involving covert government intelligence agencies, Wall Street banks, well-connected politicians, and the news media. Mr. Marshall lived near San Andreas, California. His body along with the dead bodies of his two teenage children and the family dog were discovered Saturday night lying in a pool of blood inside his gated community home. Police investigators say Mr. Marshall murdered his daughters and then turned the gun on himself. The teenage girls were shot in the head as they slept on the sofa. The family dog was shot in a bedroom. Neighbors say they're having trouble believing that Mr. Marshall murdered his children and committed suicide. According to a Santa Barbara newspaper, Mr. Marshall expressed to friends his concern about his personal safety. He was worried because his book accused the Bush administration of being in cahoots with the Saudi Arabian intelligence agency in training the hijackers that carried out the 9/11 attacks. One neighbor said she received a call from a sheriff's captain asking her, "Do you think this was a murder-suicide?" To which the neighbor replied, "I had a hard time with it. I truly felt like somebody came in the house." Now, the killing of the Marshall family happened Saturday night. It was followed Sunday afternoon with the double murder of Navy SEAL sniper Chris Kyle and his friend at a hunting lodge in Glen Rose, Texas. Mr. Kyle was recognized as America's best military sniper. He was also a strong, outspoken opponent of Barack Obama's gun control scheme. A private investigator Doug Hagman is on the telephone. Doug is the founder and president of the Northeast Intelligence Network and the co-host, along with his son, of a popular radio program on Blog Talk Radio, the Hagman and Hagman Report. Doug has been receiving intel from a law enforcement friend who has a high-level job inside the Department of Homeland Security. For obvious reasons, the name of the source is concealed, and we will refer to the source only as Rosebud. Doug's website is HomelandSecurityUS.com. That's HomelandSecurityUS.com. Doug, welcome back to True News. Things are getting spooky here. I mean, bodies are starting to pop up here, people that are opposing the regime.
Well, Rick, first of all, thank you very much for having me, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you. It's very interesting that you mentioned this dead pool of people. We had, of course, Chris Kyle and John Noveski and Keith Ratliff and Aaron Schwartz and others, the SEALs and such, and now we've got Philip Marshall. There's questions regarding that.
And
Mr. Breitbart, of course, going back. Indeed. This latest one, Mr. Marshall, I had some real issues with this because of the manner in which it took place. The family dog was shot. And normally, now I've worked a number of homicide cases in my capacity as an investigator, and that is usually a red flag for me, as I was taught early in my career. That does suggest the involvement of someone outside of the family. But I won't get into that. But the bottom line is, yeah.
Well, I thought the same thing, Doug, when I read that the dog was shot in another room. A suicide person doesn't go and kill the dog.
Not normally. And you can look at statistics about suicides. Believe it or not, the FBI and other, they've got numerous spreadsheets of facts that relate to things like this. And I mean, a trivia. One might say it's trivia, but it's an important indicator of the type of person. It just didn't sit well with me. This whole thing didn't sit well with me, but the totality of the number of people that are succumbing to this, I don't know.
I know. And I think you mentioned the names of two of the gun manufacturer company owners who died last month. One of them ran off the road and hit a boulder.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I know things happen, and we obviously the car accidents happen. Heart attacks happen. Even random shootings happen, and even unfortunately suicides happen. But when they happen in a certain when there's a palpable cadence to the way things are taking place, or there's a pattern. Yeah, there's definitely something that needs investigation that needs to be looked into. And of course, we saw this under Clinton. We even saw this under George Bush. I mean, to be honest and non-political. So I really think that there's a lot here.
What were your thoughts about Chris Kyle's murder?
Well, Chris Kyle obviously was not stupid, and certainly, regardless of the mental alleged mental impairments or problems that this alleged killer had, Chris Kyle would have been very well aware. I took a firearms course from a very well respected trainer, and I've got to tell you, my instructor would never have allowed me. I mean, it would never have happened. He never turned his back on me or anyone else with me one time, and it was certainly not downrange. I mean, he was never downrange of a loaded weapon. There was never I would not have had the opportunity to shoot him at all. Well, you know, I say that. I'm sure there would be possibilities, but the bottom line is no. There's something definitely wrong here. And Rick, I've been seeing more and more talk, and this is perhaps a discussion for another day, but this does kind of segue into a number of things. You know, the CIA has been heavily involved in mind control, and 30 years worth up to the Church Commission, 6% of their operating budget was dedicated to mind control. Now, if you think about that, 6% of their operating budget for a period of 30 years, 44 universities across the United States, and at least 2 million people. And we know they didn't stop upon discovery or with the Church Committee. We know that they continued. So there is perhaps a Manchurian candidate scenario taking place. Again, perhaps a discussion for another day, but keep that in mind. And even with the new alleged police officer allegedly shooting people in Southern California, isn't it interesting? You've got the word manifesto. And when people hear that word, they automatically think of the Unabomber. Well, if you look at the various traits, including the Unabomber, you think, well, you know, mind control is a factor there. It might have been a factor there as well. Maybe not MK Ultra or the Operation Monarch, but certainly it could very well have been a factor there. So are we seeing a replay? Are we seeing cutouts now from years upon years upon years of mind control experiments? Yeah, I don't know, but it certainly begs additional investigation.
The case with Chris Kyle has a lot of unanswered questions. First of all, there were no witnesses to the murder, the double murder. Nobody saw this alleged shooter kill Mr. Kyle. All we know is that we're being told was that he met Chris Kyle and Mr. I think it was Littlefield was Mr. Kyle's friend who was also murdered. That supposedly that those two men met the alleged shooter, his name Eddie Routh, at the gun range, an outdoor gun range. By the way, that gun range in Glen Rose, I lived about 12 miles away from that place when I lived in Texas, so I know exactly where this is at. And but they had never met. And so here you have the nation's most recognized military sniper meeting a guy that he doesn't know at a gun range. Now, the other thing is that the media is telling us that the killer was a battle-scarred Marine suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. But I have learned that this Marine never served in combat. And that he was a mechanic on a U.S. base. He was only in the Marines 4 years. He never served in Iraq or Afghanistan. He saw no combat. So none of the story makes sense. And, you know, this guy, and you know, he just opens fire on the best sniper in the country, takes him out, and his friend. And, you know, according to, the Erath County Sheriff's Office, they were, apparently Mr. Kyle was in the process of shooting targets when he was shot.
Oh, wow.
This guy just walked up behind him and shot him. Now, well, go ahead.
Yeah, if I can ask, I'll tell you, I respect your opinion as an investigative journalist. So from an investigative point of view, Rick, if I can ask you a question, do you believe, see, I did not realize that they had never met before, but is it, from what you've seen, because you've been covering this quite heavily, do you believe that this could represent a purge of outspoken people?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The regime took out the sniper they fear the most.
All right. That's kind of where I was headed.
We're talking about a guy that killed Iraqi terrorists. You know, his one shot was 1.2 miles away.
Yeah, I saw that.
He took out two terrorists with one bullet.
Man.
All right.
Wow.
The guy's dangerous. I mean, as far as a military sniper. Somebody took him out. Somebody eliminated him.
Okay.
All right. Now, also, the alleged killer, Mr. Routh, supposedly told his sister, "I made a deal with the devil."
Ooh. Wow. I did not hear that. Okay.
All right. I think the exact words were, "I traded my soul, you know, with the devil." I mean, you know, it's a bizarre statement.
Well, we're going to be getting into investigating this a little bit deeper. It's just a matter of trying to pull all of these together.
Doug, I got to tell you this, and I'm going to say it on the air. I have not told anybody this. I have not told my wife. I haven't told anybody this. The week before the Kyle shooting, that was on Sunday.
Right.
The weekend before, the previous weekend, I was in an indoor gun range. Shooting range in Florida.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, I had this creepy feeling come over me. Get out of here. I'm not kidding you. This is for real. I've not said this to anyone. I've not told my wife. I've told anybody. It happened the weekend before. This thought came over me. Do you realize how foolish this is? You're standing in this shooting range. Do you realize how quickly somebody could turn and shoot you? And this thought came to me, opponents of the regime will be killed in shooting ranges. And I just quietly packed up and left. That's honest God truth, the weekend before.
Wow. And it's, look, I'm a firm believer in listening to that little voice, whether you want to call it the Holy Spirit or whatever God. So indeed, and I think, what better place? What better place than a shooting range, indoor or outdoor? Accidents do happen, as they say. So putting yourself in that position certainly would open you to more exposure.
Doug, I I'm not prepared to talk about this in depth. I don't have my notes in front of me on this, and I've really not mentioned it very much on the program. And I don't know if you have, but there are serious discrepancies in the various reports coming from these mass shootings, whether Aurora, Colorado, the one in Wisconsin with the Sikh temple, and then certainly the one in Connecticut. There's a lot of weird stuff. And I've come to the conclusion that there's a kill team on the loose.
I have to agree with you on that. If people really searched, I'm current, I guess, up to John Noveski. Beyond that, you know, Chris Kyle and others, I'm still a little bit behind on, well, quite a bit behind on, obviously, but in pulling these together, the Newtown shooting, very convenient in terms of timing, certainly, and my heart goes out to every victim, and I don't like to see things happen, but I've got to tell you, looking at the Newtown irregularities and the unwillingness of the people in charge, the investigators, to turn over or to produce or to allow to be seen just normal evidence that would not be outrageous tells me that there's something wrong. And of course, the Aurora shooting, we covered that in depth. So much wrong with that. And again, from an investigative point of view, there are certain protocols that are followed that were intentionally not followed on these. Look, I think you're right.
The Newtown case certainly appears that they are using actors to appear on on the TV news. The evidence is too compelling to dismiss it.
Boy, but you know, Rick, and this is something that I've noticed when people like you and I would question this, normal, reasonable, sensible questions, just wanting the truth, nothing more, nothing less, not even hype, no hype, no hyperbole, nothing. Just allow us the truth. We are treated like pariahs to even dare ask the question, especially because it involves the children. And I just have to mention this real quick. I was watching, I happened to see, and I don't watch television, I don't watch news programs, but I was in a position where I saw the Rachel Maddow show when she was talking about the Newtown Massacre, lamenting, of course, the death of the children, which I agree. But at the same time, they were celebrating the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, where, 60 million plus unborn children were killed. The disconnect that I see with people about this, and of course I asked my wife about this. I said, well, what do you make of this? And she said, well, you know, people don't think that unborn children are people. But nonetheless,
Hitler didn't think the Jews were people either.
True. You know, and I just, I mean, that affected me so much to see that. I don't know, Rick, but I'll tell you what. Things are very wrong with everything we're seeing taking place today.
But you can watch the YouTube videos. You can watch the in the minutes after the Connecticut shootings, you can watch the helicopter news footage from above the school as they're tracking two men who are running up the hill and the police officers pursuing them.
Yes. Oh, yes. And it was not one that was caught, a off-duty SWAT team member, from another police department.
That's right. And these guys were dressed in camouflage.
So we have a lot of questions, legitimate questions, about these incidents that need to be answered.
It was like over in Norway, you know, a year ago, the guy that shot all the kids. I mean, the police didn't show up for 90 minutes after the call.
I'll tell you.
Hey, but you find you can easily find photographs of that Norwegian shooter. You can find photographs of him wearing his Masonic regalia.
Exactly. And Rick, have you noticed too the images, the photographs of the shooters? There's always that the psychotropic drug type connection or the psychiatric care connection.
Oh, sure.
Wow. And I've got to tell you that. I truly, and this is where I believe the mind control comes in, because if you look at everything that's gone on historically, I think that you'll find that this is much bigger. The lie is much greater than it's just much greater. And again, the key here, I think, is to look at it, reasonably and what we know without any hype, just looking at it, asking the normal questions. And I have not seen anyone really being able to provide answers that would satisfy an honest investigation, if you will.
And Jesus warned us that in the last days, the deception would be so great that even the elect of God could be deceived.
Indeed, yes.
And that's what's happening right now. It's difficult to even discern anymore what's real and what's a lie.
Well, I'll tell you what, Rick. If I was not a believer today, I would be very concerned, and the discernment that we must use as Christians and as believers. Oh my goodness! You know, to me, it's everything, because there's so much deception out there.
That's right. Well, listen, let's talk about this latest intel that you have received from your source inside Homeland Security. And Doug, I'm going to, you know, we're talking about deception, and I think you, I don't know your source. You do.
Right.
But I have to approach this with a degree of suspicion that perhaps you're being used by somebody in the government. I mean, I have, you know, several weeks ago, I interviewed James Garrow, the Canadian businessman.
I know the gentleman.
Yeah, yeah, okay. You know, he was given a phone call. You know, he said by a top military, or you know, retired U.S. military hero. You know, he couldn't give the name, but the hero, you know, he said it's a name everybody would recognize. Who told him that active duty officers had told that man that they were being questioned in the military, would you open fire on American citizens if they resisted the confiscation of their guns? Okay, I believe Mr. Garrow. I believe he got the phone call. What I don't know, Doug, is was the source for real?
And that's a very legitimate question. And I've seen questions like that about my source on various internet forums, and I've been asked that very same question. And Rick, let me tell you something. I had to ask myself, okay, just to give you and your listeners some background, I've known this source for a long, long time, well over 20 years. And now, does that make him any more credible because I know him? No, of course not. But I do know his position. I know that his position allows him certain access, there's a very desirable access. I know him very, very close, okay? And I've known him, like I said, for well over 20 years. Now, having said that, you know, there's always that question in the back of your mind. And I do, because, once again, almost 30 years myself as an investigator, I question everybody and have this problem. I have a real problem with trust as an investigator, because I've been lied to so many times, and by some pretty doggone good liars, let me tell you. And so, you know, when I'm hearing this information, I have to ask myself, and I have to ask my source, are you being used? You know, you might, for example, he might be...
Yeah, the source could be legitimate in the sense that he really believes he's passing on real information, and he doesn't understand, or he's not aware that he's being used. The
right.
Level of deception, there are layers after layers after layers of deception.
That's very true. Which brings me to the kind of blip that happened. There was an issue where he said, "Look, let me just wait until after the inauguration to give you, or wait until after the inauguration to publish the additional information." Now, he had given me information once again back in December, and the reason he wanted me to wait for the publication is because he was doing a few things to make sure, at my request, which he agreed to see if there was any possibility that he was being baited by the powers within this Department of Homeland Security, and it was a very good thing for him to do. He did his own little tests, if you will, and what's not in the interview, what's not in print, is the off recorder conversation where he said, "Look, I did this, 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 and this," and of course he has investigative experience, a lot of it as well. And he said, to the best of my knowledge, because he is a God-fearing man, he's a Christian, he's a man of faith, and he takes this very seriously. And he said, to the best of my knowledge, and he said, I've done everything that I can think of to make sure that the information I'm getting, I'm seeing, that happens to be on a computer screen or happens to be on a desk, I'm doing everything that I knew how to do to make sure that this is information that's valid, that's legitimate. Because unlike television, unlike people who sit behind a computer using a screen name, it's easy for someone to say, "Well, you know, gee, why didn't you run out of the place with the binder that you saw, or the paperwork, or take paperwork out of this place?" It doesn't work that way. I mean, because for a number of reasons, but it's not like television. So there's a level of trust, I suppose, that I have to put into him.
Sure.
You know.
Oh, listen, I totally understand that. I have seen things with my own eyes in many years ago that, you know, I couldn't leave the building with the document. All
right.
I could do is tell people I saw it.
Exactly.
And that's all you can tell people. So tell us your source, Rosebud, what is the latest information he's passed to you?
Well, a couple of things. And I think one of the most important things is this. There's a perfect storm that's being orchestrated that involves an economic collapse in this country, the deliberate devaluation of the dollar. That's probably one of the, although I referenced it and he referenced it, it maybe doesn't appear like the real crux of it, but it is. When people talk about the guns being taken away, for example, the American populace being disarmed, people are imagining in their mind SWAT teams going into buildings and people and houses and you know, people getting disarmed that way. Well, it's not going to necessarily be that way. The devaluation of the dollar is going to cause people to be hungry. It's going to cause people, it's going to have causes that will affect everybody in this country, gun owner or not. But if you happen to be a gun owner and you don't have food or you don't have preps and you're hungry,
you could turn your guns in for a food allotment.
That's right. And if you are a neighbor of a gun owner and you know that your neighbor has weapons,
you get twice as much food.
There you go. Thank you for exactly. So it doesn't have to be. And the other thing, too, is there are plans. Another intelligence source of mine used this statement, and I think it's important for everyone to remember this. No single point failure. In other words, they're going to do this. They've got plans after plans after plans, backup plans, and it's a dynamic, fluid situation. If A doesn't work, B might work, and if B doesn't work, C might work. And if necessary, we'll do A, B, and C all at one time, or whatever, any mixture thereof. But it's going to, the American people will be disarmed. This is all part of it. But it may not happen the way you think it will happen. Not you, but people think it will happen. That's part of it. The other part of it is, at the same time, the Department of Homeland Security, specifically the Team Obama Organizing for America, they've developed this massive, I would call it a very massive disinformation campaign, where they've hired people, 3,575. I still don't know the magic to that number, other than the fact that maybe it might be something due to a budget or money thing, where these people will be on the internet, using the internet as a disinformation tool for disinformation, and very good at it, attacking Christian sites, attacking conservative sites. If you're anti-abortion or pro-life, they're going to be coming after and marginalizing. It's vilify and nullify and then destroy, basically. That's their intent. And this is happening right now. That, according to my source, 2 days after the inauguration, they put this into play. And this is something that people have to really understand, that there are, and one person perhaps out of the, or one person, although there's 3,500, over 3,500 people involved in this, any one of those, and all of those, can create multiple identities. So that 3,500 people could turn into 35,000 identities.
Okay, so what he was shown is that the Obama campaign is simply changing its form, its entity. It's going to continue to exist, not as the re-elect Obama campaign, but it will take on another legal entity, a shape, and that this entity is hiring or has hired,
yes,
over 3,500 people,
yes,
to be cyber warriors.
Correct.
On the internet against people who oppose Obama.
That is correct. And this is not some piece together, thrown together type of operation. This is an operation that has a very strong structure to it. There are leaders, supervisors, people in higher places that are counseling or instructing, training these people, not necessarily in the technical aspects, because they came in with the technical knowledge, but with the idea of, okay, this is what we need to do. We need to divert, disrupt, and destroy various sites on the internet. Let's use the internet as a tool to advance the Obama agenda. Now, notice I said the Obama agenda and not the agenda of the administration or the American administration. This is an Obama, strictly an Obama initiative, or the people that are around him. It's their initiative.
Doug, I've already experienced this hit. I mean, I know what this is like, so I can tell others what it's going to be like, what they're going to experience. I've already gone through it. In 2008, when Mr. Obama was running for president, I was using this microphone to tell everybody, hey, this guy is a Marxist communist revolutionary. This is a communist takeover. You elect this joker, kiss the Constitution goodbye. You're going into a communist dictatorship. And I was very, very open in the 2008 campaign, calling him a Marxist communist and exposing his fraudulent identity and, raising a lot of other legal questions about who and what he is. Anyhow, Doug, immediately after Mr. Obama went in the White House, January 20th, 2009, our radio ministry was targeted for a takedown.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not going to go into the details of it on the air, but I'll just say this. An individual appeared out of nowhere with a large contribution, and, so he immediately, got himself noticed. And then he began to pressure me for a job inside True News. And I felt very leery. I was just something about he had all the attributes of being a active duty Spetsnaz commando.
Wow.
And I actually said that back then. Okay? I said that privately. I said he looks like active duty Spetsnaz. Okay, and so we rebuffed his efforts to get inside the organization, and then he launched a cyber war on me. And for 14 months, he and his wife conducted a 24/7 cyber war against us, and they had no jobs. This was very interesting. They had no employment, and for 14 months, they lived on the internet day and night and spread lies about me. I mean, vicious lies.
Right.
I mean, they told some whoppers, okay? And it was having a terrible effect on us because, even some of our supporters started to believe this junk, you know?
Right.
And so I really didn't know how to handle it, didn't know how to fight back. But Doug, what they were doing was that they were using multiple aliases. They were going onto the forums of Christian websites, of Patriot websites, of Prepper websites, anybody where there would be a likelihood that the people using those forums were listening to True News. And they were going onto those forums under multiple names, multiple email addresses, multiple online identities, and they would literally have conversations with themselves.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And I want our audience to understand how devilish this is. In other words, this individual would post a derogatory statement on a forum under a fake name, then log off and log back on under another name, and then respond to what they posted with the other fake name.
Absolutely.
And some of these forums would have conversations with 10, 15 people, and they're all the same person. And if you didn't know anything about this and you just went to that forum, you would think that all these people were bad-mouthing me.
Exactly.
But it was all one person. Okay? Now, Doug, we hired a private detective and we hired a lawyer. And I did my own investigation. And I found this guy's – I found an office that this guy had, which he didn't talk about. But I found out and I confirmed that it was his office, and I used Google Earth and I zoomed in on the building. And lo and behold, right there on the building was the name of the owner of the building. It was the SEIU Union.
Wow.
What are the odds of that? The most liberal, not liberal, the communist union.
Of course.
The Communist Union, it's the union that pushed for Obamacare, and so this is what I was up against, and then this went on for 14 months, and 14 months, and it was having a very devastating impact on this ministry, on our finances, and. You know, I started to realize, man, you know, this guy is hitting me with almost, it's like military precision. I thought, man, I'm being worked over. This is not just a fruitcake. This is not just some nutball out here. This guy is working me over with the precision of a military operation. And then after that thought came to me, Doug, I received an anonymous letter. And if that person is listening today, thank you so much. You have no idea what it did for me, but there was an anonymous letter, and inside was a small manual, and it was a U.S. Marine Corps manual on psychological warfare to bring down an enemy.
Wow.
And I knew, Doug, that somebody was trying to help me. Somebody was trying to help me understand what was happening to me. And once I put this all together, then we went on the offensive, and suddenly the guy disappeared. I mean, disappeared, websites went down, everything disappeared, and he changed his name.
It's easy to do when you have a legend, when you are a legend to begin with. Exactly. And for you, now this is a testament to you, for you to withstand that type of sustained attack is really a testament to your credibility,
to the Lord. Well, the Lord sustained
the Lord,
me.
Yes. Well,
hey, I was black and blue. I didn't know what was going on, but the Lord sustained me, and he supernaturally opened my eyes to understand and see that this was an attack with military precision. Now, what you're saying is that your source is telling you is that the Obama campaign has hired over 3,500 of these bums to launch a full-time attack against anybody who is opposing the Obama agenda.
Exactly. And to launch accusations of racism, of bigotry, of you name it. Whatever we've seen over the last 4 years, just I won't even say double it. It'll be an exponentially dangerous and dramatic attack against people. Because, you see, an informed, just as an armed populace, is a danger to these people in power. But the information, we are making a difference, I believe. You're making a difference. I think we all are, in terms of informing the public. And they can't have that. They cannot have that. So rather than just pull the plug and leave everyone saying, well, you know, what happened? It's much more effective to marginalize and to vilify you
and smear. Smear the credibility of the people who are exposing the Obama operation.
Exactly, because we are a society that relies on this technology, and so they know. They know, and just as you receive that manual or something like it, is certainly being implemented. The various aspects of that are being implemented to take us out and to make us look like total fools or non-credible people.
I thought it was interesting the title that the manual gives Obama.
You know, that was one thing. My source kind of said this in almost in passing, as if it was meaningless, and I thought, the Pharaoh of the Internet. I mean, really. I thought that was a very odd characterization.
And we've been calling him the Egyptian Pharaoh for nearly 2 years.
Well, you know, my question is this an in-your-face kind of statement, or was, because some of these people, you know, they'll make statements or write statements, motivational or otherwise, and not realize the significance. But I'm not sure if the significance was lost on the writer of this, or if this was an intentional thing. My source was not he didn't know.
But last year, Rush Limbaugh said that he had a bad dream one night. This is for real. He said he had a bad dream and that he was a slave. And Obama was a pharaoh, and he was and Rush Limbaugh was building, as a slave, he was building a monument to Pharaoh Obama. And when I heard Rush say it, I was like, Rush, that's not a bad dream. This is a prophetic dream. God is trying to tell you what is happening.
Well, haven't we seen this, Rick, with the architecture of the just the architecture being used by the campaign, that was used by the campaign here recently, the Egyptian style or the old style, I don't want to say pantheon, but the appearance of the, oh, the structures.
Mm-hmm. In 2008, they nominated him, basically at the altar of Zeus.
Right, exactly. So I think that there is a, dare I say this, a demonic component or an aspect to this, something that is...
How about Antichrist? I mean, they refer to him as a Messiah, a Savior.
Right.
He's godlike. You know, the latest person, Chris Rock, said he's our father. We have to obey him. He's our father.
And see, that... now, that was one thing... my source did not specifically reference that, but it's that type of the Hollywood glamour, the characterizations that people want to spread and reinforce. They went and reinforce this. So this is psychological warfare directly out of the military manuals, if you will. And don't forget, too, as my source told me, look, these were the revolutionaries. The people around him were the revolutionaries, were the communist rioters back in the 60s and 70s, the Bel Airs, the Bernadine Dorns, of course. And they're the ones now holding the reins of power, or at least having the level of influence for Obama. So, you know, what we're seeing right now is just, I really truly believe, a nightmare come true, and I believe that this is rooted in this anti-Christian, there's a war against Christianity in this country, and it's being exported by this regime that we've got. So the Christians have got to really understand what's going on.
Doug, let's take the remaining, we got about 13 minutes, and talk about how this is a part of a plan to crash the U.S. dollar, the U.S. economy, which then would be the cover that they need to push the country into this communist dictatorship.
Okay. As it was explained to me, excuse me, now this is actually going to be not only the information I got from my DHS source, but also from another government agency source as well. So this is going to kind of, I'm giving you the bigger picture here. As it was explained to me, over a period of time, you have got this push for global governance. So now, just so people know that I'm not driven by any political agenda, this involves George Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, George W. Bush, Clinton. It transcends political party. This is a group of elites, a group of the true power brokers internationally, who are trying to implement this one world governance system. Now, with that, there's an impediment to this system, and that's the United States. Now, how can you take out the United States? Certainly not militarily, because we're pretty strong militarily, even after what Obama has done, and even the previous administration, what they've done, administrations, I should say. So how can they do that? They can take our money, devalue our currency, debase our currency to such an extent that it will take down this country. In addition to that, you've got the pitting of black versus white. You've got the exacerbation of the ideologies between the conservatives and the progressives. Never have we been so far apart so divided. And this regime understands this. So by invoking not only the Cloward-Piven strategy, which your listeners are very familiar with, you've talked about it, not only by invoking that, as well as other means, they want to take down. See, it's not a transformation of America. It's a total destruction of the country, and then they will rebuild it. But America has got to be taken out of the equation. They've got to be taken out because of our friendship and our relationship with Israel. And, of course, Israel being God's timepiece, as we all know. We have to be neutered so we cannot come to their aid when they take and divide Jerusalem and go against Israel. But of course, God has other plans. You know, we know about that. But that doesn't stop them from believing they need to take out America. So the dollar, the racial component, and people must understand this regime is fomenting the worst racial relation in the entire history of this country. So the comparison to Lincoln, as we've seen, this is, by the way, that was one other thing that I did not put in here that I wanted to tell you. Creating Obama like Lincoln. This is an idea by this regime that is taken off in Hollywood and other places.
Did the source mention this?
Yes. And I didn't put it in here because for a couple of reasons, but I just, but yes, the
Doug,
source mentioned that.
Honestly, back to 2008, 2009, I told this radio audience, he will be called the new Lincoln.
That's amazing.
And I knew the reason was I knew his assignment was to start a civil war.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, you've been ahead of the curve in this, obviously. But see, my disconnect, and I'll be honest with you, I have a disconnect with this, a mental disconnect. How can people make that mental leap between Obama and Lincoln? I just don't understand how this is. I do understand, of course, the power of Hollywood, the power of the film and of the media doing this.
Well, most of the people of this country don't think for themselves anymore. They the media thinks for them.
Well, that's true, but.
Did you ever see the movie back in, it was actually a book, and then it was a movie back in the early 70s called Being There? You gotta go.
Oh, man, I don't think so, no.
Chauncey Gardner was the character. The book was called Being There, and then they made a movie. I think Peter Sellers was in it. And this Gardner, his whole concept of reality was based on what TV channel he was watching at the time.
Jeez. It sounds like today.
That's where the American people were at.
Exactly.
They don't know. They have no reality other than the TV channel they're watching. They have no concept of reality. They can't think anymore. They can't process anything anymore. And I'm not saying the whole public, you know, but because they're watching to see how many people are left who actually have the thinking faculties to process thoughts. You know, how many people are left who have not drank the Kool-Aid? Those are the ones that they're watching. That's who they're concerned about. They want to know who are the people out there who won't drink the Kool-Aid.
And I suppose, well, of course, based on the information I have, but I suppose from your sources as well and people that you've talked to, they've got a plan for us, for the non-Kool-Aid drinkers. And I should mention, you know, I've talked to people like I've talked to Larry Grathwall and people like him who have infiltrated that mindset back in the 70s.
And he was, for those who don't know, Larry Grathwall was an FBI informant.
Right.
And who infiltrated the Weather Underground,
yep.
With Bill Ayers, Mr. Obama's close friend.
Correct. And the mailman that actually delivered mail to the Ayers household, I've talked to him and Jim Farah,
right.
and others, as you have. And the what we're really seeing right now, and I think people really need to know this, what we're seeing right now is the actual workings of the plans back then. Back then they were using bombs and shrapnel and bombs to make their point. Today they're using the power. They're changing or attempting to change, destroy the Constitution. They're using the laws and changing the laws, using the Department of Justice, and using all of the available aspects of the government, from the FBI to DHS in particular. I should say too, that was obviously created by George W. Bush. Now, is he part of this? Yes, he is part of this, at least to the extent that he laid the groundwork for what we're seeing today and allowed this to happen.
And the TSA.
And the TSA. Absolutely. And according to my sources, well, the TSA is going to be used in addition to whatever civilian type army to disarm the public, to condition them into this stop and search, for example, or papers, please. This is the new normal. You've got to do this. And by the way, it's for the children. And people have to understand that the key phrases, like, it's for the children, because most people will agree. If it keeps our children safe, oh, I'm all for it. But what they need to understand, it's not for the children. It's to condition and control us. And you know what? Like I mentioned about Larry Grathwall, sitting in a room with people like Bill Ayers, talking about, well, how can we exterminate millions and 25 million people at that time? They're talking about the same thing.
That's right. Bill Ayers, in the 1970s, said, we know, meaning the communists, when we take over America, there will be resistors, and we will be prepared to kill up to 20 million of them.
Right. Now, see, imagine that today taking place, not in some warehouse in Buffalo, New York, or Flint, Michigan, but in the White House, or in places associated with the White House at DHS. Those are the conversations that people are having today. And
how will they do it? They could only do it through a civil war, when there's total chaos.
That's right.
When their agents would be free to roam the streets and take out the resistors.
Exactly. And does that not perhaps answer the question why the ammunition orders by DHS and other entities associated with the government?
That's right. The Homeland Security has purchased 1.6 billion rounds of hollow point ammo, a recent order for millions of more rounds of ammo, at the same time that the Obamanistas are saying it's bad, bad, bad for people to have guns and ammo, and yet the Obamanistas are using your tax dollar to store up nearly 2 billion rounds of ammo. It's my belief that ammo is being spread around the United States of America to be ammo depots for foreign troops. That's my belief. They will be ammo depots for foreign troops that will arrive at a time of civil war in the United States of America. This scenario is not easy for people to contemplate and accept, but it's real, it's happening, and your only protection is to be under the blood of Jesus Christ. If you are not saved, I ask you today, call upon the name of Jesus Christ and ask God to save you. On behalf of Doug Hagman, I'm Rick Wiles. You've been listening to True News. Trust in Jesus.